on all the Sundays of this month of August, we will be reading from John chapter 6, where Jesus teaches most clearly about the Eucharist. It's his marvelous discourse on the bread of life. We just heard he says about himself, "I am the bread of life." Actually, we started reading from John chapter 6 last Sunday. You probably remember it was the story of the miraculous multiplication of the loaves. And that event leads directly into the rest of the chapter, because when Jesus left that place so that they wouldn't carry him off and make him king, the people who ate the loaves went looking for him. And they caught up with him in Capernaum. They tracked him down, you could say. And that's what we heard about in this morning's gospel. Here, Jesus reveals that he has in mind something much better than simply more loaves of bread. And so he tells the crowd that has made the effort to find him in Capernaum, he says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." As if to say, you missed the whole point. You didn't get the meaning of the sign. All you got was the bread. So he continues, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Well, this intrigues the people very much. Here he's making a distinction between two different kinds of food. There's earthly food and there's heavenly food. There's perishable food and there's eternal food, food for eternal life. And now they're interested in this new kind of food. Before they were just looking for more bread, but now they want to know about this food for eternal life. And this gives Jesus the opening to start teaching them about the Eucharist. Now, we who are Catholic Christians, we have the privilege of knowing what Jesus is talking about here. The truth about the Holy Eucharist is that it is the gift of the living body and blood of Jesus Christ himself. It's the means by which Jesus gives us the fullness of his own life. In the Eucharist, he gives us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. And that's an astounding and mysterious thing to say. But Jesus doesn't start by talking about eating his flesh. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks. He starts by talking to the people about bread. And when he mentions heavenly bread, they're the ones who bring up the sign that from the days of Moses, the sign that they considered as a solid proof of Moses' credibility. That is the bread from heaven, the manna. I call it manna. Maybe it should be pronounced manna. More authentic to say manna. But I say manna, the bread from heaven. Now, we're going to have an opportunity to focus more specifically on the Eucharist in the weeks to come. But today's readings are the only time we have any mention of the manna. So for now, I'd like to make a short study of this manna, because it gives us an opening into the greater bread from heaven, the Eucharist. How are these two breads from heaven the same, and how are they different? Well, the manna is introduced in Exodus chapter 16. Today's first reading is an excerpt from that account. And it tells of how, after the Israelites had left Egypt, after they had passed through the Red Sea, and they entered the desert, well, then after a few days, they ran out of food. And so naturally, they complained. This is what we heard in the first reading. The people complaining to Moses said, "Would that we had died at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt as we sat by our flesh pots and ate our fill of bread." So in Egypt, we had flesh pots and bread. We should have just died there. "But you had to lead us into this desert to make the whole community die of famine. See, their hearts at this point are focused on their flesh pots and their bread. They're not focused on following the Lord. They're not focused on freedom from slavery in Egypt. And the Lord's response to that was to provide the people with food for the journey. And the food was quail and manna. Quail in the evening, manna in the morning. Balanced diet, right? Protein and carbohydrate. Quail and manna. When I read about the quail, I remember my first bus trip in the Philippines. When I first came, I took a bus trip to the province of going north and around maybe Tarlac somewhere. A vendor got on the bus with the little bags. I said, "What's this?" I asked my companion, "Oh, that's quail eggs." So I learned something new. What's okay, anyway, that's not the focus of the reading. It's really the manna. The manna is the focus of the reading because the manna is what the people of Israel ever after remembered as the miraculous food from heaven. We heard it in the Psalm 78. God gave them the bread of angels. God gave them food from heaven and sustained them in the desert. So it's the manna that is the foreshadowing of the Holy Eucharist. So let's ponder this manna for a little bit. I just have three ideas to pick out about the manna. First of all, the manna was given only to those traveling in the desert. It was not given to those who remained in Egypt, and it was not given to those who already arrived in the Promised Land. So the manna is traveler's food. What does it have to do with the Eucharist? Well, the Eucharist is not for people who want to remain in Egypt or go back to Egypt. Egypt represents slavery, right? The slavery of sin. It's the place of darkness. It's the place of oppression, misery. There's plenty of food, flesh pots and bread. But it's perishable food and it's unsatisfying. It's a terrible way of life. Sin cannot satisfy us. So it's as to say, if you want to live in sin, the Eucharist is not for you. The Eucharist is for those who are willing to get up and get out of sin, or at least strive to leave Egypt behind and make the journey to the Promised Land. The Israelites ate the manna for 40 years. Was their daily bread. And when they arrived in the Promised Land, the manna ceased. Well, our daily bread, our spiritual nourishment for our 40-year journey through this world is the Eucharist. That's why we pray every day, "Give us this day our daily bread." Yes, we mean the food we need for the day, but we also mean more deeply the food we need for eternal life, and that's the Eucharist. When we get to the Promised Land, God willing, when we get to heaven, we will not live on the Eucharist as we do here. We will still have communion with God, but not under the appearance of bread. We will see the Lord face to face. So, manna is for travelers. The Eucharist is for us who are on the journey. Secondly, when the manna was given, the people did not recognize what it was. They recognized what the quail were. They knew what quail were. I'm the one who didn't know what pugo was. But the people knew what quail was, but they didn't recognize the manna. It was new. It was unique. It didn't look like bread. It didn't look like anything they had ever eaten before. The reading says that when the morning dew evaporated, there was this coating of fine flakes like delicate frost on the ground. And they said, "What is this? What is this?" In Hebrew, "what is this?" is manhu. And that's where we get the word manna from the expression, "What is this? Manna. What is this?" And so Moses had to explain it. "This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." What does this have to do with the Eucharist? We don't recognize it right away. It's not obvious to our eyes that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ. We can't blame anyone for not recognizing it or asking, what is this? What, manhu, what is this? The Eucharist doesn't look like the body of Christ. In fact, it doesn't even look much like bread. It looks like a wafer. It looks like a little cracker, a little biscuit. So just as Moses had to explain to the people what the manna was, so the church must explain to the people what the Eucharist is, so that we know. Then, once we're told, this is what appears to be bread and wine is really the body and blood of Christ. Once we're told that, then it's up to us to accept it in faith and to receive it with love. No one was forced to eat the manna. They didn't have to eat the manna after Moses said, this is bread. They might have said, well, I don't know what it is. I'm not going to eat it. I don't accept it. I don't believe it. But of course, then they would have starved if they didn't eat the unrecognizable food. Well, no one is forced to eat the Eucharist either. But if we don't eat the bread of life, we don't have life. So we have to recognize this new manna. Okay, third, the Israelites, this was not in the first reading, but in the bigger, the longer story, the Israelites grew tired of eating manna all the time. After a few weeks, a month, they got tired of it. You would think that eating food from heaven would be enough. But no, human nature has this insatiable desire for more. That's just the way we are, because we're made for God. So the Israelites complained after a while that they were tired of eating manna every day. I take this as a warning to us, whose life depends on the Eucharist. Don't get tired of it. Don't let that temptation sneak in. Don't take the Eucharist for granted. Don't treat it like ordinary food. Don't look for any alternative. Don't look for any substitute. It was possible for the Israelites to give up on the manna and go back to Egypt, I suppose. They could go back and eat sin if they wanted to. Sin always looks like it's going to be tasty, but it can never give us life. It can never give us eternal life. The Eucharist is what gives us eternal life, but it's possible for us to turn our back on it or take it for granted or give up on it. I remember a few years ago during the pandemic, people discovered that they could watch the Mass online. And some of them said, oh, this is much easier, much simpler. This is better. No, it's not. It's not. It's not even the same thing to watch the Mass online. That's an alternative for those who can't attend the Mass in person. Why is it not the same? One of the main reasons why is because we cannot receive Holy Eucharist online. We have to be here in person. People, too many people, had lost their taste for the Eucharist. Or maybe they never understood it. But like the Israelites getting tired of the manna, people just gave up on the Eucharist. And then when it was taken away, they didn't even miss it. Like saying, we're tired of manna. We're no longer interested in bread from heaven. No. In these weeks of, these Sundays of August, we have this opportunity to ponder this brilliant and marvelous discourse on the bread of life. This gives us a chance to increase our love for Jesus in the Eucharist. That's what this is all about. To increase our faith and our love for Jesus in the Eucharist. If you think bread from heaven, if you think the manna is impressive, well, take a look at the Eucharist. It's much more impressive. It's much greater. It is food for eternal life, not just food for life in the desert. So here we have heavenly food provided by God himself for our journey of 40 years through the desert of this world. And it's enough to sustain us for everlasting life. That's Jesus Christ in the Eucharist.